All right, Matthew 25. Awesome, awesome parable. Maybe we'll get it done today. Might be a two-parter. Depends on what questions you have.
David's not here, so.
Well, we'll take our time. Then, this is after all the verse, you know, after chapter 24, he's talking about end-time prophecy. So he's talking about end-time prophecy again. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. So, here's what he's saying here. The kingdom of heaven, the dominion of heaven, is like this. Now, the kingdom of heaven is going to come down on the earth, and this will be the capital for God. So when we die and we're raptured and God's kingdom comes back, it's going to be a glorious kingdom. I mean, God is God of the universe, and we're going to be seeing that that this thing is way bigger than earth. We're going to be planetaries or whatever the heck's going to happen, but we got a job, we got a role. We're not just going to be sitting back playing harps or whatever. The kingdom is going to be real, real.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be awesome, and that's why I do what I do and believe what I believe, because it's coming. But just, and I just love this when I study the Old Testament. He let Abraham enjoy the promised land before he gave it to him. When he pulled him out from his father's house and said, you can stay and sojourn over here, that was Canaan. That's the promised land. He let him stay there and visit there and homestead there until he actually gave it to him. We can actually enjoy these end time prophecies in our life today while we wait and rehearse these feasts. And we wait for God to do it for real.
Amen, brother. Yep.
So, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Not only is it something that's going to be great and wonderful when we move over to the other side, but we can experience the kingdom of heaven here. And we talked about this before. Kingdom, dominion, rule. God gets more dominion and rule and authority. Thank you, Susan. And more authority over us and our life as we draw closer to him and we see the kingdom at work in the earth. And boy, do we need to see the kingdom at work in the earth, because there's some strange, weird stuff. And I mean, boy. Anyway, let me keep going. Wow. Thank you for the kingdom. All right. So even though it looks crazy, God is going to start to gain more control and dominion as we go. And he gives this parable or similarity. It's like the 10 virgins. Now, we got to figure out what's going on with these 10 virgins. 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So now Christ, because he's Jewish, he's bringing us into the Jewish tradition of the betrothal and then the marriage. And so the way that God outlined this in their religious practices and how a groom gets a bride and then comes back for the bride and then they go to the wedding chamber and all the rest of it, that is just a picture of end time prophecy. So I know you've heard me go through it before. I'll go through it again for those who may not have heard it. So he's saying the kingdom of heaven is like this betrothal ceremony. He said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. All right, so we're going to analyze this. And the first thing we need to understand, I think, is, and I got some numbers in my notes if I have them on the screen. 10 represents God's authority, divine completion, the whole ordinal completion. And as I said in my notes, the kingdom of heaven is like the Jewish betrothal ceremony. So let me just kind of go through the steps of the Jewish betrothal ceremony. I'll slide through my notes, but I've been doing this enough that I can just kind of tell you. So, when a dude saw a young lady that he liked, there was either an arrangement, either the father made the arrangement for the son's bride, like Abraham did with Isaac, sent his agent, his servant, to go find a bride. Or you can do it like Samson, who says, hey, saw somebody I like over there, you know. And they would have to go to the father's house. And the father would sit down with this groom-to-be, maybe, And he would set the price for the bride, because there was always a bride price. You had to pay for the bride. All right? And I've got it there. The Hebrew word is mohar, the purchase price for the bride. As I'm telling this story, you will see that, and you will remember in Scripture, we, the church, is called the bride of Christ. And so our very salvation and what I hope for as Christians today is tied to this story. It is so wonderful. I when I take communion, it is totally different now. Has different meaning for me. All right. So, the father sets the price, and the groom pays the price for the bride, or agree to it. Now, I skipped around some things here in my notes. I don't know why I left so much stuff out of my notes. But then they bring out a contract. In the Hebrew, it's a ketubah. I used to always think that prenuptial agreements were just evil and of the world. Just trust people. No, God works on covenants. So there's a marriage covenant. So it's okay to get a prenup. All right, so you get this prenup agreement, and the bride looks at what the groom's going to do and what her expectations are. The groom looks it over. The father looks over the contract. Everybody looking over the contract. And if they agree, then, woohoo, they get ready. There is a mikveh involved. I don't know exactly when the mikveh is. You know, that's a Jewish baptism. I think it's probably after this particular ceremony.
Is there a waiting time?
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. All right. All right. So, So, after all of this is done, and so this is the engagement. It's not like today. The engagement is a contractual agreement, and you had to get a divorce in order to get out of the engagement. It ain't like the world today. I've been engaged several times. It ain't contractual. It's like, yeah, I got a few more months to figure out if I really want to do this or not. But yeah. So don't do that. All right, so always get your ring back. No, no, let's keep going. All right. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So it's a contract. And you see that in the scripture, because remember when Mary, the virgin birth, Holy Spirit comes on her, Joseph comes around and says, what the heck's going on here? You're pregnant? They weren't married.
He was
going to
quietly divorce her.
He had to divorce. They were just engaged. They were betrothed. But he had to get a divorce in order to get out of the engagement. So God spoke to him. All right, so that's the example. Now, here you go. Now the groom, after all this is done, oh, I forgot. They got to seal the deal. So he has a flask of wine with him, and they charge the glasses. And the bride-to-be has the glass, and the groom has a glass. And the groom says something parenthetically to this effect. I give you my life. You can't do that. And the bride says, I accept your life and give you mine. If that ain't a picture of what communion is all about, which is why Jesus says, I've been waiting to have this Passover communion meal with you, but I will not drink. Oh, here's a good thing. But I will not drink again of the vine until we come into the kingdom. Woo! We get to do this again for real in front of the groom. I mean, our future. I don't care how crazy it gets. I know there's splits here and there. I know that, I mean, I'll just say the gay thing and this thing or whatever. You know, it's coming. It's coming. Everything gets set in alignment and in place. No deception. No, just, it's coming. If he's looking forward, you know, how awesome is that, that the king is looking forward to having communion with all of us? So I never look at communion when we have communion the same way, because it is renewing my betrothal vows to the Lord.
Thank you for that, Chuck.
You're welcome. Now, well, we're going to do it all again when we go through the feast. So. Now, this feast is connected. This ceremony is connected to the Feast of Trumpets. And you'll see why in a minute. Now, he leaves. The groom gets ready to leave because they're not married. They're just betrothed. And he's going to leave for a period of 1 year or 2 years. And in the Bible, you know, a year to the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. A day to the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. All right. So we've got this. We've got this. Yeah, I'm recording. I better be recording. Yes. Okay. So he's getting ready to leave. Now the bride might be a little upset, but then he quotes from John 14. And he says something to the effect of, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. To comfort. That comes out of John 14. You got to remember, in John 13, Jesus has just told the disciples, I'm going away. I'm going to be crucified. In a little while, you ain't going to see me. And the disciples were crushed. So that's at the end of John 13. In John 14, the disciples are... And Jesus says... What does Jesus say?
Let not your heart be troubled.
Neither let it be dismayed. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. We never understood that as Gentiles. We always saw that as, you know, the mansion that we're going to get, which is true. But we never really saw it from the perspective of a Jewish perspective, because now what he's telling these disciples are, you know, that Jewish ritual, that whole ceremony that we read, that's me. So he spoke to them in terms that they would understand in their Jewish culture. I'm the bridegroom. Don't fret, I gotta go. But I'm coming back. Because I'm going to hook you up and we're going to go back to the wedding chamber, all right? I'm going to hide you I don't want to get all into the end time prophecy, but he'll come back after about a year or so. Because what he's got to do is he's got to go back to the Father's house. And their culture is they're going to add a room to the house, which is going to be the bridal suite. Chamber or whatever, because back then they didn't always move out the house. You know, they just move on in. Yeah. So, and Dad has to inspect the house and the building to make sure it meets his standards. Because you know, when we're in love, we live anywhere. Does she know how to cook? Oh, we're gonna live off love. Let me tell you something. You can't live.
Yeah. Norman had to have a whole street.
So as the house is being, that this room is being added on to the Father's house for this wedding chamber, if you ask the groom, hey, heard you getting married, when's the big day? His response would be,
I don't know.
But the Father. No, because Dad's got to inspect the room, so no man knows except for the Father. That's awesome. Next. Before he leaves a token. Just to make sure. To give her encouragement while he's gone.
The Holy Spirit.
Well, that's what he gave us. Back in the old days, there would be a coin or a ring or something like that, or what, assurance that he's coming back. So, Susan, I guess you already see us in here. What has he left behind to give us that blessed assurance that he's coming back? We're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how we know. Oh, and sometimes he would leave a friend, or kind of like the best man, to kind of show the bride, you know, here's what he likes, you know, how to prepare her for this. What's the Holy Spirit do? If you read John 14 now, you're going to look at it in a different light, because he talks about how the Holy Spirit's going to be there and he's going to teach us all. He's still talking about the whole betrothal ceremony thing. All right. So, after about a year or two, when the room is approved, he goes back with a whole entourage, big party, all his boys riding in. But they don't go all the way into the town. They stay about a mile or two outside the town. They blow the shofar. It's important. When they blow the shofar, there's a shout. And the virgins who are waiting come out to meet him. He never goes all the way into the town. And he meets them, and he takes them away. The entourage goes back to the father's house. How long do they stay in the wedding chamber? Anybody know?
7 days.
7 days. She remembers from class. 1 week. I hope this is not going to be boring when we do the feast stuff for you. Okay.
No.
All right. What, you and Al might be the only ones that have sat through the feast.
Yeah.
I think you three are the only ones. Oh, but you guys going to be like geniuses up in here. All right. I've been doing this so long, I forgot when I last did the feast. You guys know this is going to be a treat.
The 10 virgins come out, but the bride
comes too. She's in that. So there's two things. Either you're talking about 10 virgins come out, but she also has her bridesmaids, so it could be one virgin, but these other virgins are coming out with her as part of the entourage.
I have a question.
Yes.
When you say the father has to inspect, is it her father or his father?
His father. And think about that from our own salvation perspective. Yeah. Well, and ain't nobody inspecting nothing down here.
in this scenario, God the Father, both fathers.
Explain.
Here's the reason. Jesus is father, but you got the bride's father.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the price.
Yeah.
God the Father has
good point.
The price.
Good point.
So our God the Father
playing dual role. Very good. Yeah, dual role. Dual role. Because when you see us in this picture, does God set the price for our redemption?
Yes.
Did Christ pay the price?
Yes.
Woo! I just get giddy every time. But think about it. Is he coming back for us?
Yes.
What's he going to pull us from? What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the rapture.
We're waiting for God the Father to tell him to come back.
Yes. And when we come back, and when he comes back in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4, and we meet him in the air, We're practicing the same thing that these virgins are. Oh, it's going to get real in just a minute. All right. And so the virgins are prepared, and they go up to meet this groom. We're getting ready to go up to meet Christ in the air. Amen. And what are we saved from when we're raptured? The tribulation, or feast number 6. This is associated with feast number 5. The feast of trumpets, which points to the rapture. All right? Yeah.
But
mercy. God's mercy on us so we don't have to go through the tribulation. How long does the Great Tribulation last?
3 years.
7 years. Well, Great Tribulation, 3, Tribulation, 7. All right. You're right. 7 years, 7 days, 1 week. They stay in the bridal chamber for 1 week. 7 years. How do you know that? It's in the Bible. Remember when Jacob got fooled? married Leah instead of Rachel?
Yes.
Poor fella. Yeah. And so, hey, that's why, hey, always look under the veil, bro. All right, so you don't know what you might be getting. All right. I need to make sure I'm getting Rachel, not somebody gonna make my eyes water. All right, so anyway. Oh, that's what Leah's name means, make eyes water. All right.
The guy usually.
Yeah. And so when he got fooled, he said, "Hey, you can have Rachel too. Only fulfill Leah's week." A week. Fulfill her week in the chamber. All right. That's how all of this went down. So now you understand from a Jewish perspective what he's talking. He says the kingdom of heaven is like this. And the kingdom of heaven is not restricted to just Jews. So now we can join the story. All right. Okay. I got some notes here. I don't know what the heck I got in these notes here or whatever. All right. Oh, traditionally, both have a separate mikvah of baptism in preparation for the ceremony. And I saw this in a commentary or whatever. That's another reason why Jesus is baptized in Matthew 3:13-17. That's just something I saw in a commentary. I understood Jesus got baptized to show us how to stand in righteousness and go through these steps. But I never realized that baptism was the preparation for the betrothal ceremony.
Now, did they actually dunk
them
underwater?
Yeah, but it's always moving water. Because the water has to be flowing so that it's washing away your sins.
Rivers of living water.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The water, in fact, there is a ceremony. I can't remember if it's trumpets or Pentecost. It might be trumpets. There's a ceremony. They still do it. In fact, Dave Weston in the group, they used to go out to Wetumpka or whatever, into the river or whatever, and you cast, you go in your pockets. I can't remember what the Hebrew, I have to look it up again. But you take everything out of your pocket, like your lint and stuff like that, and you cast it into the water. I think it's Micah. Somewhere in Micah talks about it or whatever. So that's just another ceremony. So the water has to be moving. Has to be flowing because it's washing away. Thanks.
So right. You mentioned sometime before that the five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil.
We're going to go into that. Do you have some insight to that, sir?
Yeah, the olive oil is the Holy Spirit.
Okay, well, either you read my notes or you got that right. So praise the Lord.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in.
No, that's fine. Well, Susan does it all the time, so you might as well go and join. Alright, they are considered married even though they do not live together. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
We are connected in a contractual relationship with God even though He is not physically here. But we have His Holy Spirit. We got His down payment, alright? Mm-hmm. Alright, the groom was to prepare a place for his bride, while the bride focused on her personal preparations. Wedding garments, lamps, stuff like that. Okay. Let me see. All right. Although the bride knew to expect her groom after about a year, she did not know the exact day or hour that he would come. He could come earlier. It was the father of the groom who gave final approval for him to return and collect his bride. For that reason, the bride kept her oil lamps ready at all times, just in case the groom came in the night. Sounding of the shofar, the ram's horn. We'll talk about this as we go through the feast, but this is called the last trump. Talk about that. There's three trumpet blows. You got first trump, last trump, and great trump. Three different signs of end time prophecy. Okay, now, back to the story of these virgins. They must have already heard the trumpet sound and they're responding to the procession of the groom. He has arrived, is on their way. The purpose... Pardon me? Oh, that's Mac talking. Okay, the purpose of the lamps are to light the way, especially if he comes at night. Alright? Now, Jesus called five foolish because they didn't bring any extra oil for the lamps. Five were considered wise because they brought extra oil to keep their lamps burning. Here's something that's interesting, as I noticed. Both knew the process. Both groups are responding to the call. Both had a future hope in the groom. Only one group was prepared. This is concerning. You can be responding to the call and know about the groom and know about Christ and his coming and still not be prepared for it. That's a little scary to me.
What do you think that exactly means? Does that mean you know you've heard the gospel, but you haven't accepted it?
That's one of them. You can have intellectual. It's around Christmas time. I think my next sermon, well, it won't be today, but next week, I think I'm preaching on the wise men. The wise men come into town, and they're asking the question, "Hey, saw the king star?" And Herod goes and asks the priests and stuff and the scribes, "Hey, what do you know about this?" "Oh yeah, it's supposed to come in Bethlehem. That's in Micah, 2:4. But the rascals stayed right there in Jerusalem.
What I'm trying to get at, if you're truly saved, he's gonna come get you.
I guess if you're truly saved,
these people know the gospel and have accepted it, or they're not. They really have accepted it.
Sorry, I'm trying to get that. I know, because you're kind of bouncing into the once saved, always saved. That's cool. That's not a debatable thing for me. No, it's not. I'm hoping that's, in fact, the case. There's plenty of scriptures to support that. But if I really love my wife, I'm going to be prepared. So it's more than a religion thing. It's a relationship thing. If I really love God, I'm going to be prepared. So that takes it out. But I agree with what he's saying. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people that know about Christ, but they ain't getting prepared.
No.
Not for his coming. They're getting prepared for something else. They're getting the 401(k)s and their annuities and things like that, but which is, that's cool. But I don't want to grab that and miss the greater.
But knowing him and accepting him, to me, are two totally different things.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about
here. Knowing and believing.
Yeah. Because, like you said, the devils believe too. A lot of people know about Jesus, but everybody ain't trusting in him for everlasting life. So this is something we need to be prepared to make sure we don't miss it. All 10 are doing real well. And all 10 got called out. And all 10 were hoping for the same thing. What was the difference with the 5? All right, so let me keep going. Because I don't think I made my notes, but I didn't go through my notes. So they had some oil, but they didn't take enough. All right, so here we go. So I said this is sort of a prequel. I don't wonder why I said that. Oh, they went out to meet the groom. There was there's a delay. It's almost like a prequel when you look at the scripture again, because I kind of moved ahead. I say prequel because he's already come and identified that 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. So now let's take the next set of scriptures. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. This is all happening before we figure out whether they're wise or not. And at midnight, there was a cry made. The shout, the trumpet. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. That's why this is the Feast of Trumpets and not Yom Kippur, when Christ actually does come all the way back. It's in the clouds. Notice what they do. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. I like this. They all did this. All 10 of them trimmed their lamps. So I had to go back and figure out what the heck is trimming a lamp. Bless you. It's the wick. Mm-hmm. You the burnt off piece. Yeah. You cut that. If you don't trim the lamp, it'll still fire up, but it won't burn bright. Get a little smoky. If you trim the lamp, it burns bright, and there's no residue. Application for today, all you virgins.
Let your light so shine. It can't shine. You got to get trimmed. If you ain't trimmed,
you got to cut off the dead branches.
Woo! Look at y'all. I love it. All the old stuff. Got to be cut off. Good gracious. I didn't even have that in my notes.
Did we come down to the bottom line of striving in our daily lives to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not filled with ourselves, so that at any time we are prepared?
I don't know. Let's think about it. Let's
they, didn't have enough oil.
They had oil.
Where is the Holy Spirit? They didn't have enough.
Well, why didn't they?
Then they prepared.
Oh, what do you got to do to prepare yourself to get more oil?
Go get all you can get. because they always thought there was going to be tomorrow.
They always thought there was going to be a tomorrow.
Yes. So put that in our lives.
There you go.
So... this morning, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'm out, I've been in bleachers all weekend, watching wrestling get home, didn't sleep the night before, I know I need to get up and get some word in me and get filled up with the Holy Ghost, but I stay in bed and I sleep longer and then I don't have time, and but I'm like, but I'm going to go to church and Chuck's going to teach and then I'm going to get filled up. I gotta go get all the Holy Spirit I can get to be prepared for Jesus to come back, so that my heart is in the right place when He gets back.
Is it possible, as believers, that we can have the Holy Spirit and then run out of oil?
Yes.
In fact, I think it's in John chapter 7 that Christ says, "If any man thirst." Come to me, I'll give you on the inside living water. Yeah, again, represent you gotta refresh. You gotta resupply. Well, you can quench the spirit. Yeah.
With the lust of eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
So when we look at this, and Al was pointing to this, when we look at this oil, what does the oil represent in this parable? It's gotta be the Holy Spirit to me.
So there's believers and there's false believers.
That's absolutely. Absolutely.
There's people who downright reject.
Yeah.
Well, they probably ain't even. They ain't in the story. they're the townspeople. Yeah. It makes me want to be more cautious as I read into this. It's been a while since I've taught this. It makes me more cautious. There are things that happen on my job or whatever, and I run out of Holy Ghost. My boss asked me a question the other day. He said, "Hey, do you still do work at the prison? When do you do that? What's your role out there? Hey, are you still doing something with the church or whatever? Can you tell me what other activities you're doing? Not related to your work?" And I'm like, "What you want to know for?
Why?
Yeah. Why you want to know? You plotting on me? What's going on? Somebody concerned about what I'm doing?"
Yeah.
I started telling me ain't none of your doggone business.
Ooh. Stay on the map.
I know. I was running a little low.
Yeah.
So I told him some of the things that, you know, I was doing or whatever. Didn't tell him everything. You don't need to know everything. So some of the things volunteering. He said, "All right, why do you want to know? I'm curious. Why do you want? Are you asking anybody else about this or whatever?" I call him on the phone. I'm like, "Hey, what do you know? I find it hard to believe you just sitting up on a Friday afternoon and thinking about anything. All of a sudden, you want to ask me what I'm doing? You know, hey, what's going on? I think you're trying to plot on the brother. What's going on here? You know. And we just, you know, we kind of laughed off a little bit. But I sent him another note. I said, "Are you asking anybody else what they're doing in their off time?" So I started going through the steps. I'm like, "Lord, I need you." Two, I repent from the conspiracy theory about, you know, what might be happening or whatever. I'm gonna turn this over to you because I wanna go and stand on his desktop and say, "What's going on?" I wanna go to his boss and say, "Hey, what's his policy around here, you know, getting into my personal business or whatever, you know, what do you think? You think I got enough to do? What's going on?" Let me put my hope in the Lord. God, you got this. And let me respond in a manner with the Holy Spirit that gives you glory, makes you proud. And then I went on about my business, didn't think about it anymore. And I looked at my laptop, it came up again. So I had to go that through the steps again. Keep giving it to God, because we still want to pick that thing back up. Give him a piece of our mind.
Maybe so, you're just curious about your walk. Your life. See,
yeah,
I just said, oh, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing. I don't have a business. Jimmy would have done something he did.
Because we're dudes. We're not punks. Anyway. No. Our mind thinks that way. You think, and you know what? Let me, Susan, to your credit. Susan?
You didn't know, you won't get no blood next week.
No. Hold on. Let me recover. So, I pray about it. I go to my wife, and I ask my wife, I'm like, hey, here's what my boss did. I'm feeling kind of some kind of way about it. But here's what she said. Don't worry about it. He's probably trying to get information so he can put you in for an award. So, Susan, guys get defensive, but women sometimes will come up with a, you got to look at this from a different perspective and not just somebody, you know, teaching on your cornflakes or whatever.
The Bible says, believe the best.
I know now. So I had to go through those steps. Yes, Paul.
Hey, you know, maybe you got the word. You're walking with the Lord. They know something's different about you than other people. They may not know what it is.
Yeah.
And so that might be why he's asking. You know, instead of saying, you know, you're different than the rest of these people. So what is?
But I'm getting defensive. Why am I getting defensive?
Because
right. which knocks me out of the
yeah.
Which means I'm running a little low.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be sleeping.
Absolutely.
When he comes unawares.
Yeah.
All right. We got 5 minutes. Let me see. I'm gonna stop. And you know, Don, I'm gonna stop using examples of myself because these people here, they just, you know, they just, yeah, I'm gonna stop. Yeah, I'm gonna give them some other examples. They need to come up with their own examples. All right. Let me point out something here before we. All right. Verse 7. They're all doing real well up until this point. Then they realize, I ain't got enough oil to make it a mile outside the city. This ain't going to go dim. I'm going to be in the dark.
I feel like that a lot.
Yeah, I tell you.
Amen.
8. And the foolish said to the wise, here's where the difference is. Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out.
Yeah, right.
And I was dealing with a young man that I've been mentoring, and he's broke. And he gave his last few dollars to somebody else who's broke. And I keep telling him, dude, I know that seems like a good thing to do, but now you got 2 broke folk. You had no testimony. You had a great testimony on how you brought him into the kingdom, and now you're trying to help him out, and you know, and I gave him the book of Ruth. Ruth did not help out Naomi until she hooked herself up first.
Right.
Don't give anybody anything if you need it first, or else you cannot help them with the overflow that you might have.
Because
you don't have an overflow yet. It ain't your season to be a philanthropist. It's your season to save. And so, I used to think it was cruel, but this makes sense. But the why, it makes sense because Jesus said it was a smart thing to do. Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, I ain't figured out exactly what's going on here, but however you got your supply, you need to go back and get it. Get some more. Go back to the store. Amen. Well,
they're crying out for help from the wrong people.
Well, you can look at it that way too.
Well, I'm thinking of a little faith.
I think the Holy Spirit, but it's the faith also. You can't get to four unless you got faith that comes from 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe in the word that we've been preaching and teaching today in this class, then you ain't gonna have a whole lot of Holy Ghost to sustain you when He comes back. As Deb said, let your light so shine. All right. Now, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready. They were already went in with him to the marriage. Again, the entourage. The door shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Oh, now this, Roger, here you go." Saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And this is the thing that gets me. But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not." I wonder if he ever knew him. They know him. They know who he is. They know where to go. But they ain't come the right way. And you might come too late. And you can be doing, man, I don't want to be doing this thing and not know him.
But you know, Chuck, I think there's, and I don't mean that's critical, but there's a lot of people out there that think they know.
Yeah.
But really don't.
Yeah.
They think in their head they know, but there's nothing in the heart.
Oh, there's another reference. We see this before, Matthew 7:22. But we did this for you. We did that for you. I know you're not.
Yeah.
There's two lines. There's sheep and goats. I don't know. I ain't trying to be a goat. I'm a good old sheep. I'm going to fight bad. All right, there you go. So basically what Jesus is saying, if you look at my notes, so the kingdom of heaven is like this. There are people who will be ready, and there will be people who know what's coming and will not be prepared and miss the rapture.
They won't know what time
it is. It's like all those people on Left Behind movie. You know, they're wondering...
Okay, I gotta go. I gotta hit the road. Gotta get some gas. We will come back next week and finish this, and we will go back to, and I'll try to post my notes out there as well. But
Costco got here.
I ain't a member of Costco.
Are you not a member of Costco?
No. Why don't you go over there and put some gas in my car?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, praise the Lord. I like your black outfit, too.
I need my...
You look like...
I got a gift card to go over there and slide in the gas.
Hey, Johnny Cash today.
Now, if I do that, does God get glory for me doing that? You trying to extract some oil out of me?
No.
No.
You
said call.
No. You trying to give me some oil. Okay.
Y'all are crazy. I'll tell you what, you crazy people. All right, I gotta go.
That was good.
That was good. All right. I want us to go through each one of these little items in here and pick this apart and figure out what represents what for us today. All right? So, we'll pick that up next week. Now, application for today. How can I enjoy the rapture today? Application for today. Do step 1, 2, 3, and 4. All right?
And believe.
And believe. And delegate. Oh, and do 5 too. Because through the power of the Holy Spirit, it will show you how to respond when people ask you stupid questions like what you've been doing, you know, what you do, you know. And this is how I used that this weekend. That email put me in a dark place because it got me very defensive. See, it ain't just people cutting you off in traffic or people doing some evil stuff to you or breaking in your house. It can be the subtle things that deceive you into missing and coming out of the line. It was just the email with my boss asking me a question. And it started to take me to a different place. And it bothered me in my mind because now I'm like, why do you want to know? What's going on? And I started to defend myself. Well, you can't be getting ready to do something weird to me because I'm the top civilian in my level for the last 2 or 3 years. I always get firewall ratings. I get the highest bonuses of the thing. So it can't be that. And I start playing in my mind, well, if there's something weird coming, I'm going to go back and that's going to be my defense, all my past appraisals and stuff like that or whatever. And my mind is cycling out of control.
Paranoia will destroy you.
Right there.
I love it. I think you can be put up for something. You know.
Well, I appreciate that, but Susan, I wrote that down. Well,
just
said to the star. You missed your eyes, too. Your eyes. That's a great example. We all do that with whatever triggers us. So what do we need? I need God to rapture me. Watch me. I need Him to pull my mind and pull me out of a situation that's causing tribulation in my life. How do I do that? I follow the steps. Lord, I need you because my mind is going through. You got that right. I repent for all the thoughts that I'm thinking about my boss and everybody else. My hope is in you. Take this from me. I'm going to respond by faith in a manner that gives you glory and makes you proud. I'm going to use what I'm going through, praise the Lord, for your glory. Now that I've done everything that I need to do, I'm going to sit back and wait for you to come. Pull me out. Situation. In the meantime, I just keep filling my oil. Filling my oil. I mean, filling my lamp.
What does it for one? What that triggers you to spiral, but it's different things that trigger
absolutely
all of us differently. Like that might, like with me, I would have been like, I just told you to move on.
Yeah. Well, it must have been the paranoia.
Yeah, I mean, we're opposites in a lot of things like that, too. And I'm just like, we need to come up with this. But it's real to him.
Yeah, because we're dudes.
I lost sleep last night.
Why? She didn't cut her toenails?
No, situation that you're talking about.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Amen. Are you trying to say when I went through the steps and God is pulling me out? Well, you know what? You guys helped me get lifted out of this. And so now God uses my hang-up and my failure as a testimony to help somebody else out. Just follow the steps. Just keep following the steps. All right. I got a paranoia will destroy and a hallelujah out of Sandra. Y'all got to give us some credit. It begins with an S.
Trust God's discernment.
Absolutely. All right. Any last comments from the world of Zoom?
Safe trip, Chuck. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. All right. I should be here. I better be here Sunday.
Yes, you better.
Yeah.
Well,
you can
be
right,
huh?
You miss your butt. Yeah. The butt. I miss my butt. My butt better be on time. All right. All right. Jimmy, you're going to make me go through my steps because I'm not going to lose oil over your little comments.